to see this goodly number this morning out, ready to study the Bible, the Word of God, and to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and to give Him glory. What a joy we have to be able to call God our Father and to worship Him. And I'm so delighted you made a choice to be with us this morning. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Job in the 13th chapter, I want to read to you what I consider one of the most outstanding verses in the Old Testament. In Job chapter 13, I'd like for you, if you would, to note with me verse 15, the statement made by Job. In Job 13:15, the divine record says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him." You know, the book of Job is a great book that cannot but stir up our interest as we read it. When you study the book of Job, you see before us a battle between God and the devil, a battle between good and evil, a battle between faith and the hard facts of life. And there are many facts in life that are hard to face up to, and there are many realities that we must endure that are mighty difficult. But nevertheless, they are a reality, and they must be dealt with. And when you turn to your Bible, to the book of Job and the first chapter, you'll see the book opens with a picture of a faithful and godly man. In Job chapter 1 and in verse 1, the divine record states, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil." I want you to know that the divine record reveals this was a faithful man that feared God, who worshiped God, who served God. Then if you take your Bible, notice if you will, in verse 5, as it continues, "So it was that in the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send and sanctify them, and he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did regularly." Notice that Job was fearful for his children. And Job wanted them to worship. And Job wanted them to sacrifice, lest they fall into condemnation and be separated from the God of heaven. So this book opens with a picture of a faithful and godly man, a man that loved God. But notice a second view in the book of Job, a second scene, and this is a trial in heaven. This is something that Job himself did not see, because it is a peek into the spiritual realm. In your Bible, in the book of Job and the first chapter, look at verse 6. "There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." If you take note in your Bible, notice the evil one presents himself before God, and he's got an accusation to make. Satan, the accuser of man, was saying that man can trust God, but God cannot trust man to be faithful to him. When the Lord had said to him in verse 7, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Excuse me, in verse 8. "Job," he said, "he is a man who's blameless, upright, and fears God, shuns evil." Notice the reply of Satan in verse 9. "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Then he makes the accusation that the only reason Job serves God is because of all the blessings God has given him. Then he makes the statement, "If you stretch out your hand," in verse 11, "and touch all that he has, he will surely curse you to your face." Satan is saying that man will not worship unless he receives blessings from God on this earth. That man does not love God
unless God continues to give him bountifully things while he is upon the earth. Thus you see the second scene in the book of Job. But now then, consider a third scene. And the third scene in Job is one that brings us to the trials and troubles and tribulations of this man. Here is a man of God who was worshiping. Here was a man of God who was blameless and upright, who feared God and shunned evil. And now this man's faith is going to be put to the test. Notice God is going to allow Satan to do certain things to test the faith of Job. And in the third scene, Job is going to face great trials. This man of God named Job will face many things. And yet God's man is put to the severest of tests. However, notice back with me what Job said in Job 13:15, the statement of faith of this man. Then we're going to consider some of the losses he endured. Remember what he said in verse 15, though he slay me. In other words, though God take my life, though God blot me out, I will trust my God. Now then, I want you to go back to the book of Job in the first chapter. And in the book of Job in the first chapter, notice some of the things this man lost in a short amount of time. And time will not permit us to go through all the reading, but if you begin at verse 13 and go down through verse 17, you'll find this man lost his property and possessions. I can imagine Job perhaps sitting in the city of the public gate, perhaps engaged in friendly conversation with those who esteemed him. And then all of a sudden, one of his servants comes running up with the proclamation that his cattle has been captured and his servant slain. Then you'll notice not only the oxen, but then the Bible says his camels, the Bible says his property. All these things were taken from Job. Can you imagine in a moment of time losing everything you had, every possession you had, all the wealth you had, everything that you had, everything that you had accumulated was gone with the snap of a finger. And the servants come as if though the devil wanted to make it be seen more horrendous. As one is speaking, all of a sudden another runs up and says, Job, I've got some more bad news for you. Can you imagine the shock and horror of passing from riches to rags? And it could have been that Job had never had to experience poverty before. But now, in a moment, he's lost everything. So my question would be, Job, what do you say to this tragedy? Well, in Job chapter 1, in verse 21, look at his statement. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. I want you to take note, he recognized that those possessions were just temporary to begin with. That when he came into the world, he had nothing. And that when he departs from this world, he'll take nothing with him. And Job was a man that recognized those possessions were to be used while he lived on the earth. And Job said, though he slay me, my faith is still in God. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will at verse 18. And I'll tell you, this is one of the most touching scenes in the Bible, the Word of God. When he was still speaking, another came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people, and they are dead. Underscore that. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Oh, I want you to think about that. As terrible as it would be to lose all your earthly possessions, can you imagine when he heard that all his children were dead? For a father like Job to lose one child would be a deadly blow. But imagine hearing that all 10 of your children had been killed. That is hardly more than one could bear. And did you ever stop to think about that loving father, the grief that he suffered, looking at the bodies of 10 children, looking at their bodies and thinking about them when they were young and how much he loved them, and then having to bury them side by side by side? Job, how are you going to respond to such a tragedy? 10 children dead. What are you going to do? Are you going to shake your fist at God in defiance? Will you look up to the heavens and declare and curse at God that He doesn't love you? Oh no. Look at what Job says in Job chapter 1 and look again at verse 21 at the latter part. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, look at that. Oh, that's powerful. Here was a man that worships the Lord after hearing such tragic news. And he blesses the name of the Lord. And he said the Lord was the one that gave. Therefore, God deserves the glory. And notice, though, he says at the same time, he is taken away. This means that God received them back. It was Satan who took him away, but it's God who received them back. Open your Bible to the book of Job in the second chapter. And notice, if you will, that after this, his wife, who has suffered some of the same grief he suffered, looks at him in verse 9 and says, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." If ever there was a time that a man would need his wife to encourage him, to put her arm around him and say, "I know your pain because I've suffered it too. We've lost everything we've had. All of our children are dead, but we still have one another." She would have been at that time. But notice she doesn't do that. Instead, she looks at Job and basically wants Job gone. Why do you hold fast to your integrity to this God who allowed our children to die? Why do you hold fast your integrity and bless God and worship God when He allowed it? He could have stopped it. And notice Job's response. It is a powerful response. In your Bible, in the book of Job, in the second chapter, look at what he says in verse 10. "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" There are a lot of preachers today that will tell you that God will give and give and give, but God will not allow adversity. That's not true. This world is a fallen world, and because it's a fallen world, there's sickness, there's death, there's pain, there's heartache. And I'll tell you something, my friend. If it wasn't that way, we wouldn't look forward to heaven. But the reason it's that way is because sin was introduced into the world. And because there is sin, there is trouble. Innocent people suffer. Just because of the wickedness that is in the world, innocent people get sick. And I want us to understand that at this time, Job makes a great statement. A lot of people only want God if they get something good. But I'll tell you the kind of faith you and I need, the faith of Job, who said, "Though he slay me, I'll trust him. Because he still has my good out. He's still looking out for me. He still loves me. He still wants me to be with him." Oh, I would that I had the ability to put that into the hearts of men and women to get them to see the love of God. But I want you to look at a third thing, if you would. If you have your Bible in the book of Job in the second chapter, notice that Job had lost his health. And note again, the devil has to get permission from God. He comes before the Lord, and in verse 3, the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God, shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you, who's you, the devil, incited me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan says, oh, yes, 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 but skin for skin, yes, all that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. The accuser doesn't give up. He is wanting Job to curse God. And notice, if you will, the Lord said, behold, his life is in your hand, but spare his life. And notice in verse 7 that the devil went from the presence of the Lord and struck him with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a potsherd, and with it he scraped himself while he sat in the midst of ashes. Think of the loss of health. After Job has successfully withstood the fiery trials of life that comes to one who's lost all he had, and he's withstood the trial of losing his children, he's withstood the trial of his wife turning on him, now he has to come to face the loss of his own health. And Satan touches Job with a disease. And from the top of his head to the sole of his foot, there are boils and sores. And this man is there in the most painful way. Have you ever thought that there he is, childless, basically homeless, sitting in ashes, body being disformed, and his body being tortured, his body being diseased, and he sits amongst the ashes of despair? And this is the great acid test of faith. Job, what will you do now? And Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But you know, that's not all Job lost. Have you ever thought that Job had lost some of his friends? His closest friends come and sit with him for 7 days, and they sit with him in silence in the book of Job in the second chapter, beginning at verse 11 through about verse 13. And that was the best thing they did. 7 days was the period of mourning over death. Then they begin to be suspicious about Job. And they begin to accuse Job and say, Job, the reason you're suffering is you've sinned. And Job said, I cannot tell you of anything wrong. They tell Job he's getting exactly what you deserve. Can you imagine how hard that was for Job? Can you imagine how that hit that man? Instead of helping the man, they hurt the man. And now Job is childless, penniless, friendless, helpless. And you know what he still said? Though we slay, yet I will trust him. And my question for you at this time is, what helped Job maintain his faith? The first thing I want to tell you, he accepted adversity. My friends, if we accept goodness, and goodness alone it maintains our faith, then when life gets hard, we'll lose our faith. Our faith is not in the circumstances of life. There may be some things in your life that are troubling you. Maybe you've had problems in your life with health. Maybe you've had problems in your life losing a loved one. Maybe you've had problems in your life with addiction. Maybe you've had problems in your life with trouble with the law. Maybe you've had problems with your life because your faith or your spouse has turned on you. I may not know what trouble you've had, but I want us to understand one thing we must learn that is in this world is we must learn to accept adversity. I'm sure you get tired of hearing me use my children, but I'm going to do it again. Someone had asked Sam about his cystic fibrosis one time. And you know what he said? He said, because there's sin in the world and we live in a crashed and fallen world, I got a disease. Is that fair? No. He's innocent. When he was born, he committed no sin. He'd done no wrong. But because there's sin in the world, he has a disease. Some of us have been mistreated unfairly. Some of us have had to endure loss. Some of us, because of our own choices, have put ourselves in a mess. And what we need to learn is adversity comes. But what we must learn is that instead of trusting our feelings when we feel alone, is trust God and the facts. Trust God and the facts more than our feelings. That's what Job did. He put his faith in what had been revealed about God, not how he felt at that moment. He learned to wait on God. And you know something? That's hard to do. Sometimes we have to wait. And sometimes the answer is soon. But we say, no, now. But it's hard to learn God does not owe us an explanation and God does not entitle us to immediate gratification. Sometimes the trial is what makes us stronger and more like Jesus. And I'll tell you what I've learned. I've learned that in the darkest nights and in the greatest trials, I've learned to trust my Lord more than in prosperity. And we must learn God does not owe us an explanation. We don't live on explanations. We live on promises. And even if God had told Job why he suffered, he may not have understood. Because in Job 38 to 42, God asked him a bunch of questions and he couldn't answer a one of them. And basically God is saying, if you don't understand how my universe works, neither will you understand why you're suffering. But you remain faithful. I want to close with three or four thoughts in the lesson here. Have you had to face the cold, hard facts of life? You ever lost everything you had? How did you respond to such a trial? It can happen in a moment's notice. Have you ever had to face the hurt of a child being lost? And oh, the pain that one may have to face to do that. And I want us to understand that's a great pain. But will we blame God? Or what about our health? What if we lose our health? I look out and I see some and I know that your health is hurting and I'm so thankful. The other night when we were pulling in, I looked up and I saw some who were coming in and I told my wife, it just touches my heart to see them coming to service because they love their God. And you know what they're saying? Though He slay me, my faith is in Him. The loss of a spouse or one who can turn on you, that can put your faith to the test. Or the loss of friends and those who turn their backs on you, they can cut so deep. So how do we respond? Like Job, we remember who our faith is in. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We remember the promise that Paul talked about in the Roman letter and the 8th chapter and about verse 28 when Paul said, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. We remember the statement of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 when He said, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Job never knew why. He was never told why he suffered. But we know why. You ever thought about that statement between God and the devil? Have you ever thought about what God had writing on Job? I look out, I see people. And can you imagine if he looked out and he said, have you considered my servant D? or my servant Charles, or Travis, or Serena, or Joan, or John, or Mary. God may have a lot riding on us that we stay faithful, even when life is hard. Knowledge of why things happen won't take away the hurt. The question is, do we trust Him even when our world is falling apart? I don't know what may come tomorrow, but I do know this. I'm going to trust Him. Because pray tell me, where else can I turn? Where else is there when all seems lost with the God of heaven? Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. If you're here and you're not a child of God,